What kind of tie does he wear?
A good one.
He wear.
And I got a lot too.
You got a lot of them too?
Yeah.
Oh, who brought the tie?
I don't got no.
Yeah, well, you got a tie. You got ready to say you don't have a tie. How do you get people, since you're a worship leader, how do you get people up to sing?
I say, everybody, let's stand up and join along.
You can't be a worship leader, everybody sitting down.
No, I can't.
No, because that'll be a dry service.
Yes, it will.
Are you taking your clothes off?
No, I'm not.
Yeah, but what you taking your vest off for?
Because I like it on.
Well, come, let me help you out because you're struggling. Let me see, it's that top button. There's always one button that jams. That's what you want?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
And now I want to put this one on.
No, you're going to leave this one on because that got the mic on it. Now, you ain't running nothing up in here. You're going to sit here because they can't hear you.
Yes, they can. Because it's fun without the microphone.
Hey, do this for me right here. I want you to, can you lead the audience in something? What you want to lead them in?
Down in my soul.
Oh, you going to make them sing?
Everybody, let's stand up and join along with the song. Down in my soul, I've got a hold of me. Oh, I
have mercy. Walk it out. Walk it out. Mercy. Where you going?
Down in my soul. In my soul. Down in my soul. I've got hope.
So there in that wonderful little video of the miniature worship leader, we see a lot of our concepts of what worship means in our society, don't we? You know, he asked him, so what do you, how do you lead people in worship? Has everybody stand up, right? And then he has him lead them in a song. He starts doing the little clapping. Don't y'all wish I could had a little more rhythm whenever I led singing? But we see this idea of what worship is and how it's associated in our day and time to coming to church service and to offering worship to the Lord, right? So according to that concept, really worship is whenever we are singing and praising God. But then when we're struggling to stay awake and thinking about lunch, maybe not so much. Worshiping God in our day and time has a little bit different connotation than that from God's word. You know, if a church puts out a worship leader post for a position to hire a worship leader, what are they hiring? They're hiring somebody that can come in and that can sing, that can lead and coordinate the activities that are associated with the media, depending on the church, might be instrumental, might just be, doing videos and things like that, might be enlisting other people to help out. Maybe it's a big Church of Christ and you're talking about a worship leader coordinating praise teams. Whatever it is, worship and leader, it means something in particular. So while worship in today's society might mean lights and music and clapping and dancing, etc., I'll show you what the ancient Hebrews thought worship was. They saw worship as this. It's literally getting down and prostrating or bowing
before God. The Hebrew word used throughout the Old Testament literally means to bow down, to prostrate oneself. Shachach. The ancient Greeks translated this word, and their word, proskuneo, means to fall down and worship. To bow down in reverence, in respect. And here we are, talking about clapping our hands and jumping around and dancing. It appears that, you know, us boring Church of Christers might be a little closer to what Scripture has in mind on this one. Worship appears to be something very simply expressed by bowing before your Lord. But, you know, as always, it's never just that simple, is it? It's never just a simple act of just doing something physical. For all you know, I was doing a yoga pose right there. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33. Here in the book of Exodus, as we said, we begin to see the institution or implementation of Jewish worship or the Israelites' worship. Because remember, up to this point, God's people were of a patriarchal society. So prior to this, God's people weren't yet this big, elaborate religion, if you will, as we consider religions. They didn't have places of worship established for people to come. They didn't have rituals and things of that nature to do. As a matter of fact, we see, even before this, yeah, they participated in some things. God instructed them, Abraham, in many things. But it was through the patriarchs of the family that they received God's word and received what to do for him. The idea of worship prior to this, well, their idea would have come from the communities and the cultures and societies that they were a part of. Just coming from an Egyptian culture, you could imagine they might have a few misconceptions of what worship looks like. And so here we see God, we see the Israelites, and we see what it looks like whenever a people come in contact with their God. Exodus chapter 33, and I'm picking up in verse 5, it says, "For the Lord had said to Moses, 'Say to the sons of Israel, you are an obstinate people. Should I go up in your midst for one moment, I would destroy you. Now therefore, put off your ornaments from you, that I may know what I will do with you.'" So you've seen pictures of Egyptian culture, and you can imagine what these ornaments might have looked like. Here, God's people are beginning to transition into looking like God's people, are beginning to understand what it means to be his people. And as God says, up till now, he can't even go into their midst for one moment. Otherwise, they'll be destroyed. And here we have the antecedent to the act of worship.
what causes us to need to bow down, to need to lay low and worship, is this: the glory of God. You may have heard this metaphor used, but the sun is a really good illustration of this. Because the sun's a good thing, right? I mean, after all, if we didn't have it in its exact proximity, the earth wouldn't be what it is. But if we were to approach the sun, get a little too close, what would happen? We'd spontaneously combust, right? We would go out in flames. If we were to look directly at the sun, it would damage our eyes. If you're out on the lake too long, you're going to get some sunburn. But that doesn't mean the sun is bad. Instead, it means that we cannot reap the benefits of the sun if we don't give it its due respect. We have to wear sunscreen. We don't look directly at the sun. If you're Superman, you don't fly directly into the sun. You got to enjoy it from a distance with respect. Similarly, early on in God's relationship with his people, with the Israelites, they had to abide by certain rules just to be able to withstand his glory. They had to follow his instructions, listen and obey his commands, and not overstep their bounds. As we continue reading, we see their willingness to do this and offer respect. It says in verse 6, "So the sons of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments from Mount Horeb onward. Now Moses used to take the tent and pitch it outside the camp, a good distance from the camp. And he called it the tent of meeting. And it came about that everyone who sought the Lord would go out to the tent of meeting, which was outside the camp. And it came about whenever Moses went out to the tent that all the people would arise and stand, each at the entrance of his tent, and gaze after Moses until he entered the tent." They listened to the instructions of God. They listened to Moses and the commands that he had provided them to please God by their actions. And up to this point, there wasn't a whole lot of them, but they did them according to what Moses instructed. They met in a designated place. They practiced particular rituals, and they waited. Waited on the Lord. Let's continue reading in verse 9. It says, "And it came about, whenever Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent. And the Lord would speak with Moses. When all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, all the people would arise and worship, each at the entrance of the tent." Your translation might say it a bit differently, but that arise and worship, the most literal translation would be to come up and to bow down. So you could imagine this host of people up and down as they praise, as they worship God. Notice when they began worshiping. Notice when they began to bow down. They bowed in humble respect when the presence of the Lord had descended upon the tent. They worshiped when his presence was clear and evident. They worship when they knew God was in their midst. because they knew that as his created, they should offer respect when he's around. So it lends us to ask the question, is God present in our midst? Is he here? Has the Almighty God descended upon Cristobal Church of Christ at some juncture in our time today? And when was that? You hear sometimes the opening prayer called the invocation, to invoke the presence of God, to call him into our midst. Do we invoke God's presence? Or is God's presence always evident? Always here? You know, in the military, you know, we have our certain customs and courtesies. And as an enlisted member in the military for 8.5 years, I experienced lots of interesting dynamics. Now, the most interesting was always whenever you knew a general was going to come. And everyone on base, we'd have to send people out to pick weeds, to repaint things, even if it was painted a week earlier. Yeah, make sure that paint is perfect. General's going to be on base. Everything has to be spick and span, as perfect as we could possibly make it. And as soon as you see that vehicle, usually the most shiny, most immaculate vehicle of all, and it's got the little flags on it, and it's coming through, and you know the general is coming through. And you could be walking, you could be carrying your groceries down the sidewalk, and if you saw that general's car come, guess what you did? You dropped what you're doing, you stand at attention, and you offer salute. Immediately. Until it passes by. A general walks into the building. That building, that room is called to attention immediately. You might be working on the most important project of your life, but you better stop that and stand at attention until he says to go back. Because the general was important. The general was powerful. But no matter how important, no matter how powerful we put people in this life, they are never as powerful, they are never as important as God the Almighty is. Whenever God is in our midst, we bow down. We worship. The Israelites began worshiping because God had entered that tent and spoke to Moses. And they knew that. And they worshiped. They perceived God's presence to be in that cloud. Moses was their ambassador, and God was, in many ways, a mysterious entity to them. Sure, they had heard about him in stories from before their time in Egypt. And by this point, they knew of their deliverance from Egypt and were well aware of the power that he has. And so to them, God was interesting. He was powerful, all right. But they thought, we don't see that cloud. We're not at the tent. You're not around. But you know better, don't you? We know better, don't we? We know that God is here. He's there. He's everywhere. At all times. You know that as Christians, you carry around His Holy Spirit in your heart. You know that you can hear His voice in prayer and read His words in Scripture. So where does that leave us? When did worship begin this morning? When are we to bow down? I don't know about you, but it sounds like if God's presence is here, after we say our closing prayer, we should still be worshiping. We should still be praising Him. If God's presence was in your home whenever you woke up this morning, then you should be worshiping. You should be praising Him. So what we do here, well, man, it's just a little snippet of the worship service and time that we devote to God. On our billboards, on our websites, in our families, worship time began when you said, "I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I will do as you command." And well, on the other side of that dash that says when worship service ends, when you're up in heaven, when you're with God, because our worship service, our worship time does not have a beginning and an end. God does not have a beginning and an end. You are eternal beings made by God the Creator. And every time we come together, we assemble. We come together to praise God. We come together to learn more about Him. We come together. That shouldn't start or stop our worship. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be covering more of these specific ideas about what worship is, about what our idea of what we do here is, and what it means in our lives, in our walk. But know this as we begin this journey, that if you praise God, you praise Him all the time. To worship God in truth and in spirit. Jesus wasn't talking about the worship time posted out there or on our websites. He was talking about a people who devote their lives to Him. A people who would worship forever the one true God. So I pray that if you have been worshiping God, that you would continue to do so, that you would praise Him all the days of your life, and that if you need help trying to figure out what it means for you to bow down, to worship the Lord your God, I pray that you would come forward as we stand and sing.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing his mercy and